Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. This reading is from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 12, text number 71. In this way, the Lord passed some days in great jubilation. Then the Kar festival of Lord Jagannath approached. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first of all called for Kasi Mishra, then for the superintendent of the temple, then for Sarvama Bhattacharya. When these three people came before the Lord, he begged them to wash the temple known as Gundicha. Purport: the Gundicha temple is situated 2 miles northeast from the Jagannath temple. At the time of the Rath Yatra festival, Lord Jagannath goes to the Gundicha temple from his original temple and stays there for 1 week. After 1 week, he returns to his original temple. It is understood by hearsay that the wife of Indrajumna, the king who established the Jagannath temple, was known as Gundicha. There is also mention of the name of the Gundicha temple in authoritative scripture. The area of the Gundicha temple is estimated to be 288 cubits by 215 cubits. The main temple inside is about 36 cubits by 30 cubits. And the meeting hall is 32 cubits. And how much is a cubit? Anybody know? No idea. Upon hearing the Lord's request for them to wash the Gundicha temple, the Padicha, the superintendent of the temple, said, "My dear sir, we are all your servants. Whatever you desire is our duty to perform. The king gave a special order for me to do without delay whatever your orders are. My dear Lord, washing the temple is not a service befitting you. Nonetheless, if you wish to do so, it is to be accepted as one of your pastimes. To wash the temple, you need many water pots and brooms. Therefore, order me. I can immediately bring these all to you." The next day, early in the morning, the Lord took his personal associates with him and, with his own hands, smeared sandalwood pulp on their bodies. He then gave each devotee a broom with his own hand, and, taking all of them personally with him, the Lord went to the Gundicha temple. In this way, the Lord and his associates went to cleanse the Gundicha temple. At first, they cleansed the temple with the brooms. The Lord cleansed everything inside the temple very nicely, including the ceiling. He then took up the sitting place, Singhasana, cleansed it, and again put it in its original place. Thus, the Lord and his companions cleansed and swept all the temple's buildings, big and small, and finally cleansed the area between the temple and the meeting place. Indeed, hundreds of devotees were engaged in cleansing all around the temple. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally carrying out the operations just to instruct others. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the temple in great jubilation, chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna all the time. Similarly, all the devotees were also chanting and at the same time performing their respective duties. The entire beautiful body of the Lord was covered with dust and dirt. In this way it became transcendentally beautiful. At times when cleansing the temple, the Lord shed tears, and in some places he even cleansed with those tears. A couple of days ago we were cleaning the temple here. It was pretty ecstatic, actually. There was, what's the head pujari's name? The Indian body's devotee? Vaninath. Someone told me he was like this, just dirty from head to toe, just absorbed in cleaning. We did quite a job on this wall. You wouldn't have thought that it was so dirty, but when we started clean, we saw it was so dirty. Now it's looking very, very nice. After this, the place where the deity's food was kept, Bhoga Mandir, was cleansed. Then the yard was cleansed. And then all the residential quarters, one after the other. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu collected all the straw, dust, and grains of sand in one place, he gathered it all in his cloth and threw it outside. Following the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees, in great jubilation, began to gather straws and dust with their own cloths and throw them outside the temple. The Lord then told the devotees, I can tell how much you have labored and how well you have cleansed the temple simply by seeing all the straw and dust you have collected outside. Even though all the devotees collected dirt in one pile, the dirt collected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was much greater. After the inside of the temple was cleansed, the Lord again allotted areas for the devotees to cleanse. The Lord then ordered everyone to cleanse the inside of the temple very perfectly by taking finer dust, straws, and grains of sand and throwing them outside. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the Vaishnavas cleansed the temple for the second time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to see the cleansing work. While the temple was being swept, about 100 men stood ready with filled water pots, and they simply awaited the Lord's order to throw them. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for the water, all the men immediately brought the 100 water pots, which were completely filled, and delivered them before the Lord. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first washed the main temple, and then thoroughly washed the ceiling, the walls, the floor, the sitting place, Singhasana, and everything else within the room. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself and his devotees began to throw water onto the ceiling. When this water fell, it washed the walls and floor. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to wash the sitting place of Lord Jagannath with his hands, and all the devotees began to bring water to the Lord. All the devotees within the temple began to wash. Each one had a broom in his hand, and in this way they cleansed the temple of the Lord. Someone brought water to pour into the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and someone poured water on his lotus feet. The water that fell at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was drunk by someone who hid himself. Imagine that mercy, huh? Drinking the water that went down the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Someone else begged for that water, and another person was giving that water in charity. After the room was washed, the water was let out through an outlet, and it then flowed and filled the yard outside. The Lord mopped the rooms with his own cloths, and he polished the throne with them also. In this way, all the rooms were cleansed with 100 pots. After the rooms had been cleansed, the minds of the devotees were as clean as the rooms. When the temple was cleansed, it was purified, cool and pleasing, just as if the Lord's own pure mind had appeared. Since hundreds of men were engaged in bringing water from the lake, there was no place to stand on the banks. Consequently, someone began to draw water from a well. Hundreds of devotees brought water pots, and hundreds took the empty pots away to fill them up again. With the exception of Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Swarup Damodar, Brahmananda Bharati, and Paramananda Puri, everyone was engaged in filling the water pots and bringing them there. Many of the water pots were broken when people collided with one another, and hundreds of men had to bring new water pots to fill. Some people were filling the pots, and others were washing the rooms, but everyone was engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna and Hari. One person begged for a water pot by chanting the holy name Krishna, Krishna, and another delivered a pot while chanting Krishna, Krishna. Whenever anyone had to speak, he did so by uttering the holy name of Krishna, Krishna. Consequently, the holy name of Krishna became an indication for everyone who wanted something. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was vibrating the holy name of Krishna in ecstatic love, He himself was performing the work of hundreds of men. It appeared as though Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were cleansing and washing with 100 hands. He approached everyone just to teach them how to work. When he saw someone doing nicely, the Lord praised him. But if he saw that someone was not working to his satisfaction, he immediately chastised that person, not bearing him any grudge. The Lord would say, "You have done well. Please teach this to others so that they may act in the same way." Srila Prabhupada, he also told Yamuna, who was our most expert cook in ISKCON, I believe, he told her that you have to teach others how to cook, otherwise you'll be envious. Interesting statement there. So not only do we have to perform our duties, but if we become expert in our duties, you have to also teach others. The Lord would say, "You have done well. Please teach this to others so that they may act in the same way." As soon as they heard Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say this, everyone became ashamed. Thus they began to work with great attention. They washed the Jagamohan area and then the place where food was kept. All other places were also washed. In this way, the meeting place was washed, the entire yard, the raised sitting places, the kitchen, and every other room. Thus, all places around the temple were thoroughly washed within and without. After everything was thoroughly washed, a Vaishnava from Bengal, who was very intelligent and simple, came and poured water on the lotus feet of the Lord. The Gaudiya Vaishnava then took that water and drank it himself. Seeing that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt a little unhappy and was also outwardly angry. Although the Lord was certainly satisfied with him, he became angry externally in order to establish the etiquette of religious principles. The Lord then called for Swarup Damodar and told him, "Just see the behavior of your Bengali Vaishnava. This person from Bengal has washed my feet within the temple of the personality of Godhead. Not only that, but he has drunk the water himself. I now do not know what my destination is because of this offense. Indeed, your Bengali Vaishnava has greatly implicated me." At this point, Swarup Damodar Goswami caught the Gaudiya Vaishnava by the neck and, given him a little push, ejected him from the Gundicha Puri temple and made him stay outside. After Swarup Damodar Goswami returned within the temple, he requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to excuse that innocent person. After this incident, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. He then asked all the devotees to sit down in two lines on both sides. The Lord then personally sat down in the middle and picked up all kinds of straw, grains of sand, and dirty things. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was picking up the straws and grains of sand, he said, "I shall gather everyone's collections, and I shall ask whoever has collected less than all the others to pay a fine of sweet cakes and sweet rice." This reminds me of an incident where Prabhupada was given a class, and he mentioned how there was a very wealthy family in India who were also devotees. So the lady was so devoted that if any employee didn't go to Mangal Aarti, they would have to pay a fine. So Prabhupada said, "Yes, and here in the temple, if anyone doesn't go to Mangal Aarti, then they have to go out and sell a Krishna book." That was the fine. What do you think, Subhas? In this way, all the quarters of the Gundicha temple were completely cleansed and cleared. All quarters were cool and spotless, like one's cleansed and pure and pacified mind. When the water from the different rooms was finally let out through the halls, it appeared as if new rivers were rushing out to meet the waters of the ocean. Outside the gateway of the temple, all the roads were also cleansed, and no one could tell exactly how this was done. Now, this is a very nice purport by Srila Prabhupada that I think you'll appreciate. In commenting on the cleansing of the Gunditja temple, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally giving instructions on how one should receive Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, within one's cleansed and purified heart. If one wants to see Krishna seated in his heart, he must first cleanse the heart, as prescribed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Sikshashtaka, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. In this age, everyone's heart is unclean, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Pridyantasto Hyavadrani. To wash all dirty things accumulated within the heart, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised everyone to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The first result will be that the heart is cleansed, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17 also confirms this statement. Shumbatam svakata krishna punya shravana kirtana hriyantasto yavajani virunoti svitsitam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul, in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. If the devotee at all wants to cleanse his heart, he must chant and hear the glories of the Lord, Sri Krishna, Sumbatam Svakata Krishna. This is a simple process. Krishna himself will help cleanse the heart because he is already seated there. Krishna wants to continue living within the heart, and the Lord wants to give directions. But one has to keep his heart as clean as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept the Gunditja temple. The devotee, therefore, has to cleanse his heart just as the Lord cleansed the Gunditja temple. In this way, one can be pacified and enriched. In other words, anyabilasita purna. One cannot enthrone the Supreme Personality of Godhead there. The heart must be cleansed of all material motives brought about through fruitive work, speculative knowledge, the mystic yoga system, and so many other forms of so-called meditation. The heart must be cleansed without ulterior motive. As Srila Rupa Goswami says, Anyavilasita sunyam jnana karmanyanavartam. In other words, there should not be any external motive. One should not attempt material upliftment, understanding the Supreme, by speculative knowledge, fruitive activity, severe austerity, and penance, and so on. All these activities are against the natural growth of spontaneous love of Godhead. As soon as these are present within the heart should be understood to be unclean, and therefore unfit to serve as Krishna's sitting place. We cannot perceive the Lord's presence in our hearts unless our hearts are cleansed. A material desire is explained as a desire to enjoy the material world to its fullest extent. In modern language, this is called economic development. An inordinate desire for economic development is considered to be like straws and grains of sand within the heart. If one is overly engaged in material activity, the heart will always remain disturbed, as stated by Narottam Das Thakur. Samsara vishanale divanishi hiyajvale jutaita nakainu upaya. In other words, endeavor for material opulence is against the principles of devotional service. Material enjoyment includes activities such as great sacrifices for auspicious activity, charity, austerity, elevation to the higher planetary system, and even living happily within the material world. Modernized material benefits are like the dust of material contamination. When this dust is agitated by the whirlwind of fruitive activity, it overcomes the heart. Thus, the mirror of the heart is covered with dust. There are many desires to perform auspicious and inauspicious activities, but people do not know how their life how life after life they are keeping their hearts unclean. One who cannot give up the desire for fruitive activity is understood to be covered by the dust of material contamination. Karmis generally think that the interaction of fruitive activities can be counteracted by another karma or fruitive activity. This is certainly a mistaken conception. If one is deluded by such a conception, he is cheated by his own activity. Such activities have been compared to an elephant's bathing. An elephant may bathe very thoroughly, but as soon as it comes out of the river, it immediately takes some sand from the land and throws it all over its body. If one suffers due to his past fruitive activities, he cannot counteract his suffering by performing auspicious activities. The sufferings of human society cannot be counteracted by material plans. The only way suffering can be mitigated is by Krishna consciousness. When one takes to Krishna consciousness and engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, beginning with chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, the cleansing of the heart begins. Impersonal speculation, monism, merging into the existence of the Supreme, speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, and meditation are all compared to grains of sand. They simply cause irritation to the heart. No one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of God by such activities, nor can one give the Lord a chance to sit in our hearts peacefully. Rather, the Lord is simply disturbed by them. Sometimes yogis and jnanis in the beginning take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra as a way to begin their various practices. However, when they falsely think that they have attained release from the bondage of material existence, they give up chanting. They do not consider that the ultimate goal is the form of the Lord or the name of the Lord. Such unfortunate creatures are never favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for they do not know what devotional service is. They are described in the Bhagavad Gita in this way: Tan aham dvistha kuran sangsharisu naradhaman shipam yajasram asubhan asur is veva yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. The demons are always envious of the Lord and are therefore most mischievous. By his practical example, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown us that all the grains of sand must be picked up thoroughly and thrown outside. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also cleansed the outside of the temple, fearing that the grains of sand would again come within. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that even though one may become free from the desire for fruitive activity, sometimes the subtle desire for fruitive activity comes into being within the heart. One often thinks of conducting business to improve devotional activity. However, the contamination is so strong that it may later develop into misunderstanding, described as kuti nati, fault-finding, and pratishta, the desire for name and fame and for high position. Jiva hingsa, envy of other living entities. Nisad achar, accepting things forbidden in the Shastra. Kama, desire for material gain. And puja, hankering for popularity. So these are some of the obstacles that we face in our devotional service. Of course, envy, lust, pratishta, desire for fame. These are many obstacles that we are trying to remove. In the military, they have something called the obstacle course, where the soldiers, they have to do a lot of running and climbing and swimming and do all kinds of things, and then they eventually reach a finish line. And so this bhakti process is a very nice process. We're trying to develop our love for Krishna, but there's also many obstacles that we will face that we have to try to cross over. And Krishna says in the Gita, Machchitta Savardagrani Mat Prasara Trishasi Atachatung Ahankaram Dasosisi Vanankshasi. Krishna says, if you become conscious of me, you'll cross over all the obstacles on your path to pure devotional service. If, however, you act out of false ego and you don't hear me, then you'll be lost. So there's so many obstacles that we're going to have to face, and we have to cross over them. So in order to cross over all these obstacles, we have to be very, very, very strong in our Krishna consciousness. And just like these soldiers in the military that go to these obstacle courses, they're in good shape, they're in good physical shape, so therefore they're able to cross so many obstacles. So many tests will be placed before us. Big tests, big obstacles. You know, a lot of devotees, they don't make it. They don't pass those, they don't cross over those obstacles. So, of course, our finish line is we want to be able to think of Krishna, just be absorbed in Krishna at the time of death. Antakali chamameva. That whoever thinks of me only at the time of death, he attains me. He attains my nature. So this is the goal. We want to be able to just think of Krishna at the time of death. But to do that, we have to also be completely Krishna conscious within this lifetime, cross over all these many obstacles. There's a movie coming out now. There's a lot of advertising for it. For those of you who go out, you might have seen it. Crazy Stupid Love is the name of the movie coming up. But actually, love is not crazy, nor is it stupid. Actually, it should be called Crazy Stupid Lust. Because this is what's crazy. This is what's stupid. Because what is lust? Lust means people are thinking that they're this body and that the goal of life is to satisfy this body. This is the epitome. This is lust, right? But we're not the body at all. Not at all. We're actually the soul within. So anybody that's trying to satisfy this body, which we aren't, which nobody is stupid. Crazy. I remember I was in the airport distributing books in Miami a few decades ago. And this guy was in the airport and he was being carried away by five policemen and he was shouting, "Let me go! Don't you understand? I'm the President of the United States. Don't you have any respect? I'm the President. Leave me alone." So he was shouting like this, you know, as they're carrying him away. So obviously he's a crazy guy, right? But anybody that thinks that they're this body is just as crazy, because we're not at all these bodies. Just like that guy was not at all the President of the United States, so we are also not at all these material bodies. We're the soul within. So anybody that thinks that they're this body is also crazy or stupid. Yashatma bhuti kunupeta dhatuke sadika the tadus boma ijidi yatirta bhuti salilena karichit janesh bhadesus eva gokura. And anybody who thinks that this body, which is consists of bile, mucus, air, to be the self, to think that his place of birth is worshipable, who thinks that his family situation is permanent and is a source of joy, who goes to the holy places not to hear from the saints, but to just take bath, is no better than a cow or an ass. So we have a lot of cows and asses on the planet. I received a Sankirtan story recently. And this person was distributing books. And this lady came up and said, which is not uncommon. She told the devotee, "Why don't you stop begging? Go get a job." And the guy said, the devotee, he said, "Ma'am, I own a company. And in that company, I have 130 employees." He handed her his business card, "And I can give you a job also if you like." And the lady's, her jaw just like, couldn't believe it. So, and then Buddy Narayan, he sent a letter and he said, "Actually, we also have a job. And our job is we're trying to spread Krishna consciousness. We're trying to save these people who are bewildered by the modes of nature. And it's not easy. It's an intense job. It's not easy to attain perfection in this job that we've taken." So yes, this is the real problem, is that people are bewildered by this lust. Actually, it's stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, "Atmendri Priti Vanchadari Palikam Krishnendri Priti Icha Dhari Premanam." This is the definition of love. that whatever one is doing, they're doing it for Krishna, for God, that's love. And if someone is acting just for their sense gratification, that's lust. Atmendriya priti vanchitali parikam. Krishnendriya priti ichadari premanan. If we're trying to satisfy the senses of Krishna, this is love. And many times Prabhupada said that there is no love in this world. Love is only between the living entity and Krishna. So people don't know what love is. Actually, love is the most beautiful experience. Therefore, everybody wants it. Everybody wants love. But they don't know what it is. They don't know how to find it. So our mission is to try to give people this knowledge so they understand what is real love. And understand that what they've been attempting for is just lust. And there's a huge difference between lust and love. It's described that the difference between iron and gold. Gold is so beautiful, it's so valuable. And iron is not attractive and it's not valuable. So it's a big difference between lust and love. So we're trying to attain this love. That's a big challenge in ourselves. We're trying to give this love out to others, and we're also trying to attain this love. So it's a big challenge. It's probably the greatest challenge that anybody can face is to experience real love. It's a huge challenge because we have to give up this materialistic mentality. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shikshartham eka purusha purana shri krishna chaitanya sarivadhari kripambhutu yastam humpapadya. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to teach us detachment from this contamination, from this lust, from this illusory energy. And he came to give us this knowledge by which we can approach Krishna. And he came to teach us real love. So this is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this purport is pretty sweet. I'll continue it now. One's real desire may be for name and fame. In other words, one thinks that fools will accept one to be as good as Haridas Thakur just because one lives in a solitary place. These are all material desires. A neophyte devotee is certain to be attacked by other material desires as well, which means some of them are women and money. In this way, the heart is again filled with dirty things and becomes harder and harder, like that of a materialist. And gradually one desires to become a reputed, devotee or an avatar incarnation. So Krishna also, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Trivadham Narakas Jaram Dvaram, Trivadham Narakas Dvaram, what is it? Dvaram Nasam Atmanaha Kama Krodha Tathalobas Tasmat Etad Triyam Chujat. There's three gates to hell: lust, anger, and greed. And every sane person, they should give them up for they lead to the degradation of the soul. So these are the things that degrade the soul. Of course, we understand lust is very degrading to the soul. It's the epitome of material desire. But then anger. Now I was thinking about this. Anger. And we can understand lust is one of the great gateways to hell, but anger. I want to open this up. Why would anger be one of the great gateways to hell? Anybody say? In anger, we forget. No, but we forget in so many situations. That wouldn't mean like it's like one of the great gateways to hell. So many situations you forget, Krishna. Yes, Mataji. When one acts without intelligence, when one is angry. Okay. Frame. Make offenses to devotees. Well, some people don't know devotees. So, Nakatma. When you're angry, you do foolish things. Yes, that's a good point. People become angry, they kill people. There's so much violent crime because they're just not thinking properly. They just do stupid things. You know, that's a very good point. And yeah, also it arises, you know, it brings up forgetfulness of Krishna. Yeah. Anything else? Anybody else want to? Yes, Omkar. Jayato visayang pungsa sangaste supajayate sangachan jayate kama kama krodhopajayate. While contemplating the object of the senses, one develops attachment for them. From such attachment, lust develops, and from lust, anger. So anger comes from frustrated sense gratification. You get frustrated because so many people are frustrated because of they're just not becoming satisfied. Yes, Savas.
Also means that the person is very much in control.
Mm. They want to control things, therefore when they can't control them, they become angry. They want to be Krishna, supreme controller. You can't control things, they become angry. And it's described that anger comes out of the hands, right? And the feet and the eyes. So this is how anger comes out. And therefore there's violent activity. Anger comes out so much. Also through the words. People become angry and they speak very foul language and languages disturbs others. So let's finish this. Anybody else have anything to say about this? Anger? Okay, let's finish this purport. It's a very nice purport. The word jiva hungsa, envy of other divinities, actually means stopping the preaching of Krishna consciousness. Preaching work is described as paro pakara, welfare activity for others. Those who are ignorant of the benefits of devotional service must be educated by preaching. If one stops preaching and simply sits down in a solitary place, he is engaging in material activity. If one desires to make a compromise with the Mayavadis, he is also engaged in material activity. A devotee should never make compromises with non-devotees. By acting as a professional guru, mystic yogi, or miracle man, one may cheat and bluff the general public and gain fame as a wonderful mystic. But all this is considered to be dust, straw, and grains of sand within the heart. In addition, one should follow the regular principles and not desire illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and meat. To give us practical instruction, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cleansed the temple twice. I think we went over the walls here quite a few times. His second cleansing was more thorough. The idea was to throw away all the stumbling blocks on the path of devotional service. He cleansed the temple with firm conviction, as is evident from his using his own personal garments for cleaning. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to see personally that the temple was thoroughly cleansed, as clean as marble. Clean marble gives a cooling effect. Devotional service means attaining peace from all disturbances caused by material contamination. In other words, it is the process by which the mind is cooled. Cool mind. That's nice that. The pastime of Prabhupada, there was one interview taking place. The interview was asking Srila Prabhupada, "So why do you shave your head?" Prabhupada replied, "Why do you shave your legs?" Prabhupada said, to understand Krishna consciousness, you have to have a cool head. Better to have a cool head and warm legs. The mind can be peaceful and thoroughly cleansed when one no longer desires anything but devotional service. Even though all dirty things may be cleansed away, sometimes subtle desires remain in the mind for impersonalism, monism, success, and the four principles of religious activity, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. All these are like spots on clean cloth. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also wanted to cleanse away all these things. And by his practical activity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed us how to cleanse our hearts. Once the heart is cleansed, we should invite Lord Sri Krishna to sit down. And we should observe the festival by distributing prasadam and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to teach every devotee by his personal example. Everyone who spreads the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts a similar responsibility. The Lord was personally chastising and praising individuals in the course of the cleansing. And those who are engaged as acharyas must learn from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how to train devotees by personal example. The Lord was very pleased with those who could cleanse the temple by taking out undesirable things accumulated within. This is called anartha nivritti, cleansing the heart of all unwanted things. Thus, the cleansing of the Gundicha temple was conducted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to let us know how the heart should be cleansed and soothed to receive Lord Sri Krishna and enable him to sit within the heart without disturbance. Thank you very much. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai.